Welcome back to Insight on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. 2026 has been a banner year for Northern California composer Gabriela Lena Frank. She was named Musical America's Composer of the Year. Her opera about Frida Kahlo and Diego Rivera is being performed at the Met. And earlier this month, she won a Pulitzer Prize for music. Here's the kicker. The past school year, Gabriela was an artist in residence at the University of the Pacific in Stockton, which is why Cap Radio classical host Jennifer Reason just had to talk with her.
Gabriela Lena Frank might be one of the most inspiring women composers alive. Her creative and powerful music pulls from a rich cultural heritage. Gabriela's mother is Peruvian Chinese and her father is Lithuanian Jewish. She also credits her disability with informing her artistic output. Gabriela experiences the world with both advanced hearing loss and Graves' disease, which has affected her vision in her right eye. The wide variety of works she has composed ranges from chamber pieces like this, and this. Two larger scale works like this. And her first opera, which is being performed currently at the Metropolitan Opera in New York. It was during Met rehearsals that Gabriela spoke with me by phone from New York. We talked about her opera, music education, and UOP. But first, we had to talk about her Pulitzer Prize-winning composition, Picaflor, a future myth. As she explained to me, Picaflor is Spanish for hummingbird.
The hummingbird figures beautifully in some of the origin myths of Peru, of the Andes. It's a bit of a Prometheus figure in that in the creation of the earth, there was a sky kingdom. There was a small bird that was made of a few leftover feathers by the creator when he made all the other birds. And this bird rips the sky, looks down at this black watery earth, and takes a little bit of sun and brings fire. And from that spawns civilizations. And it's beautiful. And I started thinking about writing this before the pandemic. And then the pandemic happened. And then all of the political division happened. And wildfires got just horrible, as we know. And I started thinking about how did we get here and the centuries of certain kinds of human behaviors that got us here. And so I said, well, how does this Picaflor carry meaning for me? What happens if we cast our mythologies into the future? And I had to rewrite that story. And the story begins after there's been rampant fire and flooding, and Pachamama, which means Mother Nature, is drowning. And we're back to that black, watery state. And as the animals disappear in extinction, what was happening in my imagination, the sun god was taking them back. You don't treat my hummingbirds well, I'm going to take them back. That's what extinction is. He's taking them back for safekeeping. So now the hummingbird is still mischievous, rips the sky again, goes back down to this black, watery earth again. And so it sacrifices itself through the 10 movements. There's a sacrifice at the end. And through its sacrifice, we learn our lessons. There's a rebirth. And this follows very much something called Pachacuti. Pachacuti is a concept from Inca, pre-Inca times, that every few hundred years, there's a big change in time space where everything is just goes through big, big changes. So it's draws on some of my personal experience as somebody that's just constantly living among, you know, fire danger. I live in a fire zone in Mendocino County now. But I've been thinking about my ancestry and the lessons of my ancestors for a very long time. And it seemed necessary for me to just leave it all on a table, put it all in one piece, and write this big virtuoso work.
I have chills listening to you talk about this. And I'm trying to imagine how one pours such a profound story into a wordless score.
I thought of it as a ballet without dancers. So the music has to be evocative. Maybe it's very gestural. Maybe it starts in a way that sounds like that black, watery earth. It sounds ominous. It sounds really dark. When the pica flor starts flying to the earth, what would that sound be like? But I don't want to just do effects. I'm not interested in just musical effects. There has to be that craft and that rigor. It's a bit of a concerto for orchestra because I pull out groups of performers too. And sometimes I even think of them as that's the pica flor, or those are the ghosts of the Inca runners, or those are the old fossils. And I've always held stories. That's what gets my creative mind going. I can't write abstractly. Nothing really cooks if I do that.
Gabriela's path to cooking up compositions started out in Berkeley, where she grew up.
My piano teacher was like a second mother, and she was a refugee from South Africa. So she had a very worldly view. And when they left South Africa, they were political protesters there, and it just wasn't safe for them to stay there anymore. She went to England for a while to get her music training and then came to Berkeley because she liked Berkeley in the 70s. You know, she liked the environment there. So she gave me songs from Africa, and she gave me songs from countries that don't exist anymore, like Yugoslavia, Ruthenia. And she encouraged me, you know, to try to be mindful and not improve upon Beethoven and Bach. And I would always add these little flourishes that were very Peruvian-like, to be honest. But she would give me the ability to, on the annual student recital, to premiere a work of mine. And so these were always improvised. I never wrote anything down, but it gave me the sense of being a creator in a very natural, unselfconscious way. So then right before I went to college, I took a music program at the San Francisco Conservatory over the summer, really as an effort to make my extracurriculars more attractive for colleges. I had a great first teacher who's still in the Bay Area, Dan Becker. And that reflected a little bit my own training, in which I didn't draw a hard line between classical music or Peruvian music or jazz. And I just fell really hard for the process of writing a piece of music. It starts with you. Nobody else knows it. You hand it over. The performers add themselves to it. It's very addictive, and it's what I devoted my life to.
Composing large-scale orchestral works is something that would come later for Gabriela. At first, she concentrated on chamber pieces.
I didn't really aspire to large forms. I aspired to large feeling, but not large forms. That's just, I just didn't see Latinas or women doing that kind of work. And I didn't natively accept it, but it felt like that was the reality. And I was writing for people that I knew. Then these performers started doing well as we graduated. Their careers were blossoming, and little by little, these larger and larger ensemble and longer pieces and bigger stage pieces came into my diet through my 30s. My 40s, I landed really hard in the orchestra world. So it took, you know, all my 20s in training and all of my 30s as a young emerging career to have a consistent diet of larger forms. And then opera came towards the end of my 40s.
Now, Gabriela Lena Frank is the first woman of color to ever have an opera staged at the Met. Reflecting on her own musical journey, she had some thoughts about the current state of music education.
The curriculum that we have in the music training program today, I think it's wildly out of date. And when I go and I guest at music universities today, I feel like I'm stepping back into a time machine. I'm back in the 90s and going, oh my God, there's the same pieces being done. There's the same orchestra schedule. The demographic is maybe a little better, like a few more women, a few more people of color, but I'm in my 50s, well, almost my mid-50s, and I look back and say, why is this repertoire the same? It's been decades since I've been in school. So I don't want our descendants to think that we just skip 125, 130 years as if we don't have stories, we don't have experiences. Look at what we're going through right now on the planet. We have a lot to write about and a lot to say. So our curriculum, our training programs really need to catch up.
One music school that has caught Gabriella's attention in a very positive way is UOP.
There was just a lot of interesting activity happening at UOP within the music school. Some very good hires within the faculty, including some friends of mine that I have brought into my own academy that I would put in front of the composers that I mentor. They're trying to do something. They're trying to create a curriculum for the 21st century musician.
Peter Witte is the Dean of the Conservatory of Music at UOP. He explained how Gabriella came to be Pacific's Artist in Residence for the 2025-26 school year.
She enjoyed her time at Pacific in a previous visit. And so we had a long breakfast and talked about music and culture and thought that maybe there would be something more. And she has a very unique way of teaching composition that's much more like chamber music, actually. And so we said, well, let's partner and put together some workshops. And they were going famously. And then last week, she had the audacity to win the Pulitzer Prize in Music for 2026.
That, of course, was a big surprise. But staging her opera at the Met has been in the planning stages for months. Now, the last dream of Frida and Diego is here. How does it feel?
Well, it's the Met, you know, so everything's quite the thing there.
Yes, exactly.
and it's really exciting. And I think we're in good shape. I think we're in good shape.
What is that like for you watching that come to life on the Met stage? That gives me chills just thinking about it.
You know, I was talking with my librettist, Nilo Cruz, just the other day, and I was reminding him, do you remember when this story about Frida Kahlo and Diego Rivera, when it was just between you and me, just our thing that we were creating, and now it's not ours anymore? That's what it feels like. And you see people with so much talent and a clear vision. Everybody's super collaborative. So it's not like people are just trying to have their way or just represent their side of things. And it's just an incredible honor. And I think about, you know, when I first started composing, I never would have imagined landing in a place like this.
It's a historic year for her. It's a historic year for American music. What she celebrates and the way that she speaks about being a cultural witness, we need more of this. An openness and a recognition that without all of the cultures that make this country what it is, we would be much less musical and much less free.
For Insight, I'm Jennifer Reason.
And that is Pulitzer Prize-winning composer Gabriella Lanafranc, along with Peter Witte, Dean of the Conservatory of Music at University of the Pacific, speaking with CAP Radio Midday Classical host Jennifer Reason. You can hear Gabriella's opera, El Último Sueño de Frida y Diego, about legendary artists Frida Kahlo and Diego Rivera, broadcast live from the Met this Saturday at 10 a.m. on CAP Radio Music at 88.9 FM. That is it for Insight today. You can learn more about our guests at capradio.org/insight. You can also subscribe to the Insight podcast on Apple or Spotify. And if you want to join the conversation, send us an email. We're at insight@capradio.org. Thank you to producers Andrew Garcia, Sarit Lashinsky, Paul Conley, and editor Jen Picard. Insight's technical director and audio engineer is Mark Jones. Our original show music is produced by Adrian Gilmore. I'm Vicki Gonzalez. Thanks for joining us. We'll catch you back here tomorrow.